The role of a pastor is very similar to the role of a father. When the Apostle Paul was describing his ministry to the believers of the Church of Thessalonica, he described it as follows, and this is 1 Thessalonians 2:10 and 11. "You are witnesses," writes the Apostle Paul, "of God, also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children." The Apostle Paul was bringing attention to his behavior while he was among them, especially his behavior towards them. He was just, devout, or godly, and he became blamelessly towards the believers in Thessalonica. But he also came along and exhorted them as a father would exhort his child, his son or daughter. He encouraged them also to do what was right, and he gave them the word of God. As parents, especially fathers, God has given us a special responsibility. We are responsible to provide for the family financially, but that's not the most important responsibility that He has given us. Beyond that, we are called to impart to our children the skills needed to be successful in life and to be successful raising the next generation, their own children. When God gives them that responsibility. One of the reasons why God instituted the institution of marriage is because God wants godly offspring, we're told in the book of Malachi. In order to be successful and responsible in life, children need parents who are committed to responsibility, who are committed in a relationship of responsibility with their spouse and with their own children as well. Children need parents or someone acting in the role of a parent, especially as a father, to, just like Paul came along the church, to admonish them, to encourage them to do what's right and to teach them the word of God, to lead them in the ways that lead to life. Without parental training, no matter how much education children receive and how much government help they receive, they will have a hard time becoming responsible individuals. Studies are showing that it's not the money that is invested in the child that makes a difference. You can invest hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars in a child, and still that doesn't teach the child to be responsible. And it's hard to, the way that society looks at relationships between humans, they don't see any responsibility in it. They see the fun, they see what you can get out of it, but there is this lack of responsibility that God has given it to in a relationship like a marriage or between parents or children. And of course, when you were, at least when I had children, I wasn't thinking, oh, I want to be responsible for a child. It's more the thinking, oh, it would be nice to have a family or to be able to help other people. But then once you realize that you have a child and then that God has given your responsibility to impart wisdom to them as your parents or someone else imparted wisdom to you, especially through the scripture, especially if you are a believer. So it doesn't matter how much education, in the secular education they receive, or how much government help they receive, they will have a hard time becoming responsible individuals. It is, what the studies are showing is how much parental involvement in the life of a child is how much parental involvement the child experiences, what helps them with their responsibilities in life. No one takes care of those responsibilities. The child will have problems being successful in life, especially raising a family and then taking responsibilities for his or her own children. So what I would like to do this morning, it's going to be somewhat different. I would like us to look at the teaching of a responsible, godly, and wise father that we have in the scriptures. That teaching has been recorded for us in the book of Proverbs. And it was compiled by the wisest king that ever existed, King Solomon. He not always acted wisely, but he was given divine wisdom that he recorded for, for God's people. We will be looking at verses, at different passages from the first seven chapters of the book of Proverbs. We will not read them all. So you might want to turn to Proverbs chapter 1. And in those chapters, Solomon addresses his son, giving him godly advice. We're going to find several passages that restore, my son, do this, or my son, do that. And I have divided his teaching in those first seven chapters in four major categories. And we will be reading selected texts from those seven chapters, at least to give you an idea, and you might want to go home and then read the passage by yourself later to put it in context. But you're going to see as you read it that Solomon, at least in these seven chapters, focused on those four different categories. And there are many more that come up after in the book. But I think that will be a good start and a good review this morning. So let's look at some of the things that a godly father should be teaching his children. But before that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray for forgiveness for the times where we have failed to see our responsibility and to fulfill our responsibility. But Lord, thank you for the life you have given us and for the wisdom that you have given us, especially through your word. I pray that as we meditate on these teachings, Lord, that you might give us opportunity to share them with our children and grandchildren as well, as you give us life to do so. And Lord, thank you for the blessing that you have given us, to some of us, to be fathers and to be able to share this with the next generation, Lord. I pray that you will be honored through our lives, Lord, that you will keep working our lives, that they might bring honor to you and also the lives of our children and grandchildren and future generations after that until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, Lord. And thank you for him who is the wisdom of God for us. I pray that you will speak to us through your word, and you will help me to share some of these thoughts with my brothers and sisters this morning. And we're praying this in Jesus, in his name. Amen. So the first thing I want to share is, fathers, you need to teach your children the word of God. One of the reasons why we need to teach our children the word of God is because it leads to wisdom. I know I told you to turn to Proverbs 1, but I want to share a passage from 1 Kings 3, 4, and 9. Of course, I'm kind of cheating because I have them all printed here. But from the book of Kings 3, chapters 4 and 9, chapter 3, verses 4 to 9, we have how Solomon obtained some of this wisdom. Some of this wisdom was a revelation and a skill or a gift that God gave Solomon. But in addition to that, he had acquired some wisdom from his own father. His father was a devout follower of God. He failed. Yes, we know the story of him committing adultery and even committing murder with Bathsheba. But at the same time, he was a godly man in the sense that he was always seeking God's will. He wasn't seeking his own will. Even in his failures, he went to God for forgiveness. He was a man that was seeking the will of God as he was being persecuted by people in his own nation, as he was also in different dangers from the Philistines and in different wars, and then even dealing with insurrection from his own family, who was one of his sons wanted to take over, and throughout all his life he depended on God, and then God used him, and he wrote lots of the Psalms were written by David, by King David. So something that Solomon learned from David, even though he was a son of his old age, is that David was a man that sought God in his life. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 4, we're told when Solomon, the story of when Solomon requested wisdom. Shortly after he was instituted as king, after the death of David, the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there because there was their high place. And something that chapter 3 also tells us is that there were some things that he did not correct, like the worship in the high places. So he went to one of these high places and he offered out of his wealth a thousand burnt offerings. The burnt offerings were not, there were different kinds of offerings, and the whole burnt offering was an offering completely devoted. Nothing of it was eaten. Some of the, like a shalom offering, a thanksgiving offering, a peace offering, part of it can be given to the priest and part of it was eaten by the person worshiping. But from a whole burnt offering, nothing was eaten. It was, in the eyes of the world, it would be a wasted animal in some ways. So he went and offered 1,000 of those. And at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" So in a dream, God asked Solomon, "What should I give you?" And Solomon answers in a dream, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David." Notice how he's going to look at what God had done first with his own father. And he said, "I've seen the way that you have blessed my father. You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne." Says, you have blessed him, and now you have blessed him with a child to continue, in some ways, his dynasty, to sit on his throne, as it is this day. "Now, Lord, my God," and Lord, all capitals, is Yahweh, God of Israel, God of Jacob, "you have made your servant king instead of my father, David. You have placed me as king, but I am a little child." And of course, he was not a baby. He was talking. He was having dreams. He was giving 1,000 of his animals to be sacrificed. But also, you can understand that a wise person is humble. And part of when it says humble yourself under the hand of God is just recognizing our position before God, that we are needy people. We are not self-sufficient. And you can say, with all the wealth that David acquired and all the peace that he acquired, peace among all the enemies, you would think he has a pretty good kingdom. And yet he says, I'm just a child. He was humbled, and I'm a little child, and I don't know how to go out and how to come in. And he was in charge of leading the army into battle. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I might discern between good and evil. God is the one that has the authority, and he has the wisdom to truly distinguish between good and evil. Men like to call good evil, and they like to call evil good. But it is the scriptures and the revelation of God that tells us this is evil and you need to avoid it. Why? Because God has explained that that's evil and it's avoided. There are consequences that show it later. But it is God who gives the understanding of good and evil. And that's what Solomon is praying for, that I might understand, that I might discern between good and evil. "For who is able to judge these great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked these things. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and you have not asked for long life for yourself," selfish things, "or asked for riches for yourself, or have asked for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done accordingly to your word. See, I have given you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall anyone like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be no one like you among all the kings of all your days. So if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So God responds to prayers of wisdom. In the book of James, you turn to chapter 1, verse 5. James tells us, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all. And how does God give wisdom? He gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So, as fathers, we need to ask for wisdom to fulfill the responsibility that God has set before us, that to understand what's good, what's evil, and then that our children will be able to do the same with their own children, and then that their grandchildren will be able to do the same as well. So we need to pray that God will provide wisdom to our children as well. So Solomon, let's turn now to Proverbs, our text for the day. Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 1 to 9. And here Solomon is going to speak to his child, to his children, whoever child he has in mind, as his father has spoken to him. He starts, "Hear, my children, destruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine," or good teaching. "Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in his sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live.'" What did his father say? "Keep wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, is the main thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all the things that you get, in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring honor to you when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you." So Solomon remembers his father teaching him wisdom. And we need to be doing the same with our children, giving them wisdom. Turn to chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. It is God who, the only one who can give this wisdom. In chapter 2, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures," notice that wisdom can be taught. It's something that God teaches to us, and now with His Holy Spirit in our presence, He uses the Holy Spirit to illumine our minds and our thinking and change our thinking. But at the same time, it's something that can be taught. And because it can be taught, you are responsible to teach it to your children and to the next generations as well. So here the exhortation is, "My son, search for that wisdom. Incline your heart to wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord." He had said in chapter 1 that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord refers to obeying His commandments, obeying His word. So you teach your children to obey the word, and once they obey it, they understand why that's wisdom, which is chapter 2, verse 5. "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Just like James tells us that it is the Lord who gives wisdom, here Solomon is telling his child that it is the Lord who gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It is the Word of God that gives knowledge and understanding. He stores up wisdom for the upright, and He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. So the wisdom of God is found in His mouth, in His Word, as He opens that understanding. He is the only source of wisdom, of true wisdom. And as we've been discussing in the book of 1 Corinthians, wisdom that is not wise, should it even be called wisdom? But the wisdom of this world, God will destroy it. So God is the source of wisdom that he gives us through his word. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5, Moses writes, "Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, the word of God, just as the Lord my God has commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of peoples who will hear of these statutes and say, 'Wow, surely this is a great nation and is a wise and an understanding people.'" So Moses had understood, I gave you the commandments of God because I can teach them to you, and those commandments will be the source of wisdom that even other people and other nations will be recognized, that these statutes are a source of wisdom. One more reason why we need to teach our children the Word of God, one of them is because it's the source of wisdom. The second one is because it leads to faith. You probably might have memorized Romans 10:17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God." So you need to be able to, if you want your children to develop faith, you need to teach them the Word of God. It is the vehicle that God uses to lead people to a relationship with the living God. What we have been learning in the book of 1 Corinthians is that wisdom is found now in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has given wisdom to his people in the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 23 and 24. "But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews is a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles is foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God, and he is the wisdom of God." The source of wisdom for the believer and for God's people is Christ. Colossians, Paul is saying, is talking to them that he knows there are a lot of believers now in Colossae that haven't seen his face, and he wants to see them. But the most important thing he wants them to know is that they will grow in love, that they will grow in faith, and that they will attain understanding, full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, which is the mystery of both the Father and Christ, and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Again, all wisdom, and Paul tells us there in Colossians, that is found in Christ and in the gospel. So the gospel is the one that has power to bring your children to a relationship with God. So we need to teach our children the Word of God because it's a source of wisdom for them, and also is what, especially it is the gospel, the message of the gospel, which Paul summarizes as Christ crucified, Christ on the cross, as the message that has the power to impart salvation to those who hear it. I will share one more verse about that at the end of the sermon on why, emphasizing the need to share the gospel with our children. And it's not something that we should delegate just to the church, or just, but it's something that we as parents need to be engaged on. So, summarizing what we're doing is we're looking at the teaching of Solomon and as a wise father. And the first thing was, we need to teach your children the Word of God because it's a source of wisdom, a source that leads children to faith. And the second thing is that we need to teach our children survival skills. Sometimes when we think survival skills, we think about going out to the desert and being able to survive without water for 10 days, or going out to the an open field or to the jungle and be able to find lions and bears and snakes and all kinds of that. However, let's look at Proverbs 4. We're basically in the book of Proverbs a lot, the first seven chapters. Proverbs 4, 1 to 6, we already read that passage, but let me just give it to you one more time, read to you. Hear, my children, the instructions of a father, and give attention to the understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. So preservation and life comes is as important, and it comes from keeping the word of God just as you, and probably even more important than learning how to survive 10 days in the desert without a bottle of water. or without any food. Look at verses 10 to 13. Same chapter. Hear, my son, again, Solomon talking to his son, trying to impart some wisdom, and receive my sayings, and years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instructions and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. If you worry about your grandchildren, you need to make sure that your children have been trained to be responsible so that they might be able to teach your grandchildren and take good care of your grandchildren. You care about your great-grandchildren, you need to make sure that your grandchildren are being taught to be responsible as well. If you worry about their survival, and part of this message is just thinking, my son is going to college, my first son going to college, I will not be able to be there. But there is a source of wisdom that he doesn't need me to be there, where he can actually go and take this wisdom. So I want to make sure these things of wisdom before he leaves. And also, it's a good reminder for all of you parents. So you want to live, you want to learn wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God. Not the secular wisdom, but the wisdom that comes from God. Look at verses 20 to 23. My son, again, this is, you can see the heart of a father teaching his son, because he himself knows that will not be able to make all the decisions for him. He will have to make decisions in the future. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Again, the word of God is a source of wisdom that leads to life. Turn to chapter 3. You want your children to have peace and rest? Teach them the word of God. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. That means fear God by keeping his commandments. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Look at verses 21 and 26, chapter 3 again. My son, how many my sons are there here? I don't know. Let them not depart from your eyes. What? Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. So am I afraid that my son will come along people that will be bad influence to him? Well, yes, but if he is following the path of wisdom, he will know, stay away from them, stay with what your parents have taught you, what it is needed to fulfill your responsibility, and then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. So, the other thing that wisdom does as part of the survival skills, and we're going to see at least, he's going to give more specific details, and you're going to see how it is more important not to get involved in situations where you can lose your life because of the kind of behavior that is taking place. And that's where that kind of survival is more important than sometimes physical survival, how to live without a microwave, or okay, how to live in the winter without heat. No, that is survival. But the knowledge that Scripture gives you actually extends your life even longer than a winter. It's teaching that goes for life. So Proverbs 1. Oh, here it is. Here it is, the specific example. Look what wisdom protects you from. Chapter 1, verse 10 to 18. My son, again, if sinners entice you, and they will present the plan really nicely. If sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not agree. If they say, come with us, let's hide. Let's wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for innocent without a cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us have one purse. All. My son, don't walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of a bird, of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood, and they lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. Greed takes away the life of its owners. So wisdom protects from greed, trying to become rich through evil behavior, through stealing, through murdering. Wisdom protects from evil. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. Discretion will preserve you, and understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the evil way, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of unrighteousness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their path. Again, here we have teaching the word of God to your children will be teaching them survival skills. And in addition to that, another area that the word of wisdom will preserve their lives with is that it provides guidelines for sexuality, for sexual behavior. The popular thought now is that everything goes, whatever your heart feels like doing, that is fine. However, the wisdom of God teaches self-control and it teaches responsibility. Proverbs 2, right there, verse 16. The teaching of wisdom will deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth, and who forgets the covenant with her God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the death, to the dead. No one who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Chapter 5, the whole chapter, I won't take time to read it, has instructions of life. And it also, especially chapter 5, alludes to the only relationship that God has limited sexual relationships to, which is marriage between a man and a woman. Relationship outside of marriage, do not honor your spouse. Relationships outside of marriage, do not honor God, and they lead to death. Having a pure life before marriage honors your future spouse. Having a pure life during marriage honors your spouse, and of course it honors God. Several things in this book, just like in this passage, marriage is referred to as a covenant, an agreement between you and the wife of your youth, like in chapter 5, but it's also a covenant that is being witnessed by God. In some ways, it's an agreement also with God. It's an agreement where you agree to honor God. That's again why the most important way that you can show someone, especially a woman or your spouse, that you love her, is through this covenant, to this agreement that is marriage. It helps children, it helps the whole family to feel secure. It shows your responsibility. Again, children, as a parent, might not have been something that you chose, but if you're going to be responsible with your own children and then teach your children to be responsible with their children, you need to see parenting as a responsibility. And sexual relationships are part of that responsible behavior that you want to teach your children and your grandchildren as well. And so the secular wisdom says anything goes. The Bible says this is God's wisdom. And then you put it into practice, and just as we read, then you understand the fear of the Lord. Oh, that's why God is asking me to live in this way. So fathers, if you teach the children the word of God, you will be giving your children survival skills more valuable than how to cook, how to survive without a microwave, how to survive in the winter, or without water in the middle of the desert. The third thing is you need to teach your children administrative skills. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. And notice how Solomon is going to more and more specific things. And I'm skipping, and there are a few other things that are given here. I'm just giving you sample passages. Verse 9, honor the Lord with all your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You need to teach your children that they need to honor God with the things that He has put at their disposal. Something I learned from my pastor. I did not have a godly father that taught me this. He did have some biblical principles. At the same time, he died when I was 12. But something I learned from my pastor is that each time you receive money, your money, you set aside some money to honor God. Tithe in the Old Testament, I think, is a good beginning. And everyone can decide. There is not is not part of the New Testament. It won't save you if you give 10% of everything you give. And in fact, the New Testament encourages to give yourself first and then give as God has put in your heart. God gives the cheerful giver, the happy giver. So it's something that you need to pass on to the next generation. And then practice it yourself too. Is if God has put all this at my disposal, I need to honor Him with what He has given me. But again, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if you look at verse 9 again, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. In the old times, part of your possessions was what your land will produce, your harvest. So your barns will be filled with plenty. Then when you honor Him, then He blesses you. And the vat, where you keep your wine and your juice and everything you got, will overflow with new wine. So teach your children how to administer what God has put at their disposal. Verse 27 and 28 of chapter 3. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Teach your children to pay what they owe whenever they are able. If you hire someone, that's what this is referring to, pay them immediately if it's within your power to do it. And I think this problem is also addressed in James chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, and you can look at that. It's about the rich, that they were accumulating wealth and not paying their laborers. And just teach your children to be good administrators of how they have. If they have some obligations, teach them to meet those obligations. Proverbs 6, 1 to 5. Another thing that will protect them is teach them not to vouch for someone else's financial commitments. My son, again, Solomon speaking from his heart, if you become surety for your friend, if you promise to pay, take another one's commitments, If you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, don't do it. If you have done it, if you are snared by the words of your mouth, you promise it, and you are taken by the words of your mouth, do this, my son, and deliver yourself, save yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself, plead with your friend, and get out of it. Give no sleep to your eyes, and do not slumber to your outlets. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Basically, if you have money to help, help. That's part of what God has given you to dispose of, but don't promise to fulfill the commitments of other people. Then the next verse is, he gives us the example of the ant. And be productive. Teach your children to be productive when they are able. Proverbs 6:6-11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider the ways, her ways, and be wise. How they take over our kitchens during the summer. It's time to work. We have several ones, and have the little ones, we have big ones. But they have no captain, overseer, or ruler. They provide her supplies in the summer and gathers her food for the in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, like the folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come to you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. And I think the description of poverty is, if you think about it, imagine that you are not armed and then an armed man comes against you. You are defeated. You will be defeated. And basically, what he's saying, if you are not being productive, poverty can come to you like a prowler, and your need will come like an armed man, someone that you will have a hard time defeating. So fathers need to teach their children how to manage their finances in a biblical manner. If you go and take a class in personal finance in a secular school, they will not teach you to honor God in the way you conduct your finances. But the Bible provides wisdom even in that. And one more thing that Solomon is emphasizing in these seven chapters, teach your children the word of God. It will teach them survival skills. It will teach them administrative skills. And the last thing is, we'll teach them people skills. People skills are important. Proverbs 3, verses 29 and 30, two verses there. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. I think I like other translations better. But don't be a troublemaker. Don't think to harm your neighbor without a cause. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm and killed your neighbors, those around you. And we have much this wise teaching expanding much more in the rest of the book of Proverbs and then in the New Testament about love your neighbor. The story of the man that fell into robbers, and then who was the neighbor? It was the Samaritan from a different, maybe ethnic group, who came and took care of the poor man that had been robbed, and he helped with what he could, which was he paid for someone to take care of for him. So, don't be a troublemaker. And the last one that I have for this, just as different things that Solomon is thinking to teach his child, 4:24, that's just one verse. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. As a father, you need to oversee your son's and daughter's vocabulary. While they are growing, while they are at home, and we've always been, well, maybe not, but if you have been a father, you've been there when suddenly out of your daughter's mouth, out of your mouth, comes this phrase that, Where did you learn that? Where did you hear that? What do you say? What do you say? I heard that on TV or whatever, or so-and-so says it a lot, or from other children. And my children have done that. I think all of them. You need to train them to watch their words and to speak the truth. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. If society is going to work, it needs to be founded in truth. And I think something that has blessed the United States is the emphasis that there is in speaking truth, which is moving away from that. In Mexico, it's expected for a politician to lie. It is expected for someone to tell you a white lie. Yeah, I'll be in church Sunday and they have no plans to step by. Yes, I'll come to the party and they have no plans to stop at the party. Yes, I'll do this or I'll do that. And mi casa es su casa. That might just be words. But here, because of the Protestant influence they have been in the United States, there is a great heritage of speaking the truth and telling the truth. No one would try to impeach a president in Mexico for telling a lie. That's normal. That's expected. Here, it has been different. But for your children, and if your children are going to be responsible and are going to act as responsible parents later, and hopefully they will teach a responsibility to the next generation, you need to teach them to speak truth. As it said here in 4:24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. And Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth. This is from the New Testament, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So fathers need to be involved in correcting their children's vocabulary, encourage them to speak the truth. Truth will benefit everybody, them, those around them, and the whole community, the whole country overall. So as parents, we need wisdom. We need to learn divine wisdom. We need to act with divine wisdom, which is also a challenge for everybody, not only for our children, but for us as parents as well. The best legacy we can leave our children with is the gift of spiritual wisdom. The most responsible action that a father can take towards his children is not to provide food, but is to teach him the Word of God, to teach him divine wisdom, to teach him how to apply divine wisdom in the relationships, to teach them how to apply divine wisdom to their actions and in the endeavors they take. They need to be trained in the ways of wisdom. Furthermore, it is the scriptures that have the power, as I mentioned before, to give faith and to lead people into a relationship with the living God, into the fellowship with the Father and with the Son. 2 Timothy, and I want to leave you with this verse, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Here is Paul talking to Timothy, and he's saying, you need to continue in the things that you have learned, and what he has learned is the Word of God, and you have been assured of, and also knowing from whom you have learned them. And at the beginning of the letter, he said, you learned from your mother and from your grandmother, Eunice and Lois. I have a hard time pronouncing that word. Lois. But also he learned the gospel message from being with Paul and hearing him, Paul, in each of the synagogues where he went. Timothy went with him to Thessalonica and then to Berea and then to Athens. Athens, Paul just finally was by himself. But then he heard him teach in Corinth and then in Ephesus. And now Paul is in jail. And he has been assured that this time he will not come out alive. And he is telling Timothy, continue in what you have learned. And verse 15, Timothy 3:15, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for, notice, they are able to make you wise. They give you spiritual wisdom for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So let's be responsible and teach our children the skills that they need, not only to come, and the skills that only come through the knowledge of the words of God. They are survival skills, they are administrative skills, and they are people skills. And all those are found in the scriptures and are given to us by God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that we have found, that you have given us, that comes directly from your mouth, as Solomon recognized it, and he saw it in his father David, as you revealed your word to David, and we see it in Psalms and several other books, Lord. And then thank you for Solomon, for the wisdom that he had to advise his son and his children, recording these not only for them, but also for future generations of your children, Lord, of your family and of your people. I pray that you will help us to understand the responsibility you have given us for those who are parents, and the responsibility you will give to those who will become parents in the future, Lord, and the responsibility that we have to teach our children to be responsible with the next generation, Lord. And we know that you have done it in our generation and the previous generations, and we know it's all your work, and we know that you have the power to do it in future generations. And we pray for each one of our children and grandchildren we have in mind who are here, or and those whom we love, that you will work in their lives and help us to be bold to be able to impart this teaching to them, Lord, especially fathers and godly fathers and mothers, Lord. And thank you for this time that we can come and remember these things, that we might put them into practice, Lord. And may you be honored through our lives, and as you have been honored in the past, and you will be honored in the future as well. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that teaches these truths, and we're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.